this morning's Parsha, we learn about three different kinds of leaders. There's Jacob and Judah and Joseph. On this Shabbat, we think with different kinds of sadness about two different kinds of leaders. The Reverend Martin Luther King, and of course Prime Minister Sharon. And so there seems to be a confluence, a bringing together of the question of leadership and what it means and what it should mean. And I thought that by looking at the different kinds of leadership modeled in the Bible, it might tell us something about what we need. First of all, let's look at the leadership that lasts forever. You know, as I mentioned earlier, that in Jacob's blessing to Judah, he says, Hamchokek, the scepter, that is, the sign of rulership, will never leave the house of Judah. It will stay with Judah forever. Judah devolves into King David and then ultimately into the Messiah. Why Judah? Why not Joseph? I mean, after all, Joseph is the brilliant star of Jacob's children. But there are a couple of qualities that Judah has that Joseph doesn't, not the same way. First of all, Judah's brothers like him. Joseph's not very popular. He's not going to win the Electoral College in the Israel family. But also, Judah, first of all, shows that that trust can be converted into action. Remember that he is the one who manages to convince his father to let him take Benjamin back to Joseph and to Egypt. Even though his father doesn't want to do it, he does it because he trusts Judah. Judah is trustworthy. He's the one who saves Joseph's life when the brothers want to kill him. He shows himself a pragmatist, of course. He doesn't say, oh no, let's just take him home. He says, let's sell him into slavery. But it's only by the expedient of selling him into slavery that Joseph lives at all. And then, when Judah tries to protect his child by not allowing the child to marry Tamar, and Tamar disguises herself and has a child with Judah, he says something remarkable for a biblical hero. Sadkami many, he says, you, Tamar, were more righteous than I. In other words, Judah is trustworthy and can admit a mistake. These are already two good starts for a leader. Because every human being is flawed and fallible, and because the inability to admit a mistake is just an assurance that you will persist in it, as opposed to an assurance that you'll never make one. Every leader has to have that certainty of trustworthiness, part of which is the ability to know when she or he have done something wrong. Now let's move to Yaakov. Yaakov shows the ability to motivate beyond himself. First of all, he gathers all of the children together. And remember, according to the rabbis, what they say to him. What do they say when Yaakov says, I want to make sure that you will care about God and about Judaism in the trial that you are going to face? They say, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. You've taught us that. We will remember it after you. It is what Kierkegaard said so beautifully. A tyrant dies and his reign ends. A martyr dies and his reign begins. A real leader, a real example, is more powerful even after they are gone than when they are present. Jacob had a lot of trouble controlling his kids when he was alive. But his legacy endured after death because he had the ability to motivate beyond himself. In fact, after Jacob says to Joseph, "When I die, I want to be buried in Israel. I don't want to be forever in Egypt, in exile, where I don't belong. I want you to promise me that you will carry my bones to the land of Israel." Yosef says, "Anochi e'aseh kidvarecha. I will do kidvarecha, as you say." And the Kli Yakar, one of the commentators, classical commentators on the Torah, says when Joseph says, "I will do as you say," he's saying two things. One is, "I'll follow your directions. I'll take your remains to Israel," as he does, "and you will be buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the cave where Abraham and Sarah are buried." But also when he says, "I will do as you say," he's saying, "I'm going to do that too. I too will do as you say." And in fact, that's exactly what happens. Yosef too, in the end, is carried to the land of Israel and buried in the land of Israel. And why? Because he has learned from Yaakov. Because Yaakov has given us all his name. Because it doesn't end with him. I mentioned once or twice the fact that Manasseh and Ephraim are not Jacob's children, but his grandchildren. And commenting on this, Pinchas Peli, of blessed memory, a wonderful teacher of Torah, said something that has since been quoted many times, but not everybody knows that it was first said by Pinchas Peli. He said, "When someone asks me who is a Jew, I say, it doesn't matter if your grandparents were Jewish as much as it matters if your grandchildren are Jewish. I identify Jews by their grandchildren." And that's what Yaakov did. Yaakov identified his legacy with his children and his grandchildren and made sure that it lived beyond him. It was the legacy of a leader. And then, of course, as we heard last night, and by the way, those of you who are here, know we had a wonderful evening last night. It was Friday Night Live, and in honor of Martin Luther King's birthday, we had a gospel choir and Reverend Mart Whitlock from the AME Church in Irvine. And there was a lot of spirit in this room last night. Let me tell you, it was extraordinary. And he quoted from Proverbs, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And Yosef is exactly the exemplar of vision. Yosef shows vision and intelligence. And a leader has to have both. Someone once asked T.S. Eliot, the poet, "What do you need to be a great literary critic?" He said, "You need to be very, very intelligent." And that idea that the problems of the world actually require the application of intelligence is shown by Yosef. After all, Yosef figures out not just the dream of Paro, but what to do about it. How to arrange the economy of Egypt so that the world won't starve. It requires vision. It requires intelligence. Even in Joseph's dream interpretations, if you follow them carefully, you can see the sign of a subtle intelligence at work. Let me give you one wonderful example. You remember when Joseph is in prison, two people come to him, the cupbearer and the baker. And they each have a dream, the cupbearer about bringing the cup to Pharaoh, and the baker has this dream about birds eating the bread from a basket on his head. And what does Joseph say? The cupbearer will be restored, the baker will die. How does he know that the baker is going to die? The cupbearer being restored, it's always good to prophesy to somebody that you're going to have good luck, right? But what is there in that dream that shows that he will die? The Maggid of Dubnov tells a wonderful parallel. He says, this is what Yosef figured out. Once there was a man who was a very skilled painter, but he wasn't a great painter. and he painted a picture of a man, and in the man's hand was bread. And some birds came and pecked at the bread. And someone said, "Look, look how wonderful the painter is. He made bread that is so lifelike that birds come and peck at it." And the person standing next to him said, "That's because he's a good painter, but not a great one. If he was a great one, the man would be so lifelike, the birds would never come close." So he said, Yosef thought, "Ah, the birds are eating the bread out of his head. They would only do that out of the basket on his head. They would only do that if he wasn't alive." That was the operation of Yosef's intelligence. And his vision, by the way, you remember when Yosef is born, Yosef Adonai Li Ben Acher, God will grant me another son. His very birth is announced in a vision. That's what Yosef means. Something else is going to happen. And all of those characteristics, the trustworthiness, the vision, the carrying on beyond yourself, and also the sense that you are honored, are characteristics of leaders. In his book on the story of Joseph, and Atzmot Yosef, the bones of Joseph, a scholar at Harvard, James Kugel, points out something wonderful about the fact that, remember, Joseph is raised, his coffin is raised by Moses and then carried across the desert when the Israelites are liberated. According to Kugel, this is because to honor